My teacher used to say our mind is like a monkey. That's how one of my books got its name, because Lama Yeshe used to talk about our monkey mind. You know, how a monkey just, like in the zoo, swings around everything, picks something up and throws it away, and picks something up and throws it away. I think it's very good for us to begin to see what a monkey mind we have. You know, because often we aren't aware how distracted we are. We aren't aware of the kinds of thoughts we have. I mean, for example, you leave home in the morning and you get in the car, or you get in the bus, or you get on the MRT, and then you arrive at work. And what was going on in your mind during the whole journey? Are you aware of what was going on in your mind that whole time? Now, very often we're total space cases, aren't we? Now, a half an hour just went by, and if somebody said what was going on in our mind, we couldn't tell them. So when we start to meditate, we start becoming aware of all these different thoughts. We begin to see how many there are. Sometimes it's rather shocking. And we say, I didn't used to have such a monkey mind before I meditated. The meditation is making my mind like this. Wrong. Okay? It's like, you know, when you live in a flat off of a noisy road, when you're paying attention to your TV, you don't notice the cars. But when you stop paying attention to the TV, the noise is really prominent. So same thing. You know, when we're distracted, we don't always see the multitude of thoughts. When we try and concentrate, they begin to appear. I think that this can actually be quite helpful for us, because as you do the meditation over a period of times, days, weeks, and months, begin to observe what kind of patterns you have. Yeah, this is extremely useful. You begin to observe, are there certain objects that my mind very often goes to and starts thinking about? Now, very common objects that we get distracted by, food. Yeah, you start thinking about lunch, planning lunch. Sometimes work, sometimes sex. Yeah, the mind just starts, you know, going off. Sometimes it's music, all the little commercial jingles that, you know, start going through your mind. So it's interesting to notice if there's any patterns regarding the object. Then it's also interesting to notice if there's any patterns regarding the type of emotion that we're feeling. Yeah. Very often we'll notice that we're distracted because we've started to think of something that we're attached to. We start daydreaming about something that's going to make us feel good. Yeah, that happened to anybody here? Come on, be honest. Yeah. So, you know, then we notice, oh, you know, so many of my distractions are about attachment, thinking about something that's going to give me pleasure. So that means that, you know, I have some issues about attachment that I need to work on. What does the Buddha say about attachment? How can I work with my attachment? You know, and then the Buddha advises us to contemplate impermanence, to contemplate the unsatisfactory nature of the things that we're attached to. So we begin to apply that antidote, and then the attachments go down a bit. Some people, or sometimes in our life, we find that maybe we're distracted by anxiety. You know, in America right now, anxiety is just, you know, rampant. People are quite anxious. Yeah, you sit down to meditate and, you know, you're thinking about anthrax, you're thinking about, you know, getting on a plane, you're thinking about, you know, the mind starts becoming a Hollywood thriller screenwriter. okay? And we start making up all sorts of horrible scenarios, you know, about World War III, and, you know, the economy's going to crash, and, you know, everybody's going to, you know, get smallpox, and, you know, I mean, we can really go to it, can't we? You know, and, you know, we can make big stories or we can make small stories. You know, I'm not getting along with my colleague and my boss is going to reprimand me. Yeah, or I won't get the promotion that I want, or maybe I won't get my Christmas bonus. Or, you know, oh, I wonder if my son's going to marry a nice girl. I wonder if my daughter's going to get a good job. You know, and we worry. Okay, so worry, anxiety, fear. You know, and we'll see that our mind very easily goes in that direction. Okay, so that's quite useful information to know about ourselves, because probably we're filtering a lot of things in our life through that filter of worst case scenario. Okay, so then we know that we have to step back, and every time we start to do that, ask ourselves, is this likely to happen? Yeah, and even if it did happen, am I completely without resources to deal with it? You know, and when we start looking at our fears with a more astute mind, then they generally dissipate because we see that they're completely, you know, exaggerated. Okay, some people, or again, sometimes during our life, we may find that our distractions center around anger. Yeah, we're trying to watch the breath, and all of a sudden, you think of something your brother said to you 15 years ago. Yeah? That you haven't thought of in the last 15 years, but now it seems very important. Yeah? Or you start thinking of an interaction with a colleague or with your spouse from yesterday, and you start getting really upset, you know. My friend said this, then they said this, and I remember actually last week they said something like that too. And I don't know if this friend is really such a friend. You know, I bet you 2 years ago when they were talking to somebody, they were really talking behind my back. And this is always a pattern. I can't stand this person. What am I going to do to get even? Because they're always, you know, going behind my back and bugging me. And I've got to do something because I'm really ticked off about it. You know, and then we get into planning stages of, you know, how to construct and carry out our own terrorist attack. Yeah. So, you know, then we realize, oh, I have a problem with anger. You know, I'm always thinking angry thoughts about other people. Or sometimes we realize, I'm always feeling that nobody appreciates me and nobody loves me. I do so much for other people and they don't love me enough. They don't appreciate me enough. They don't thank me enough. Poor me, you know. Or sometimes we'll notice that our thoughts are always going to, I'm not good enough. I try so hard to be good, I try so hard to do things right, but something's defective about me. I just can't be like that. Yeah. And so we'll begin to notice certain kind of thought patterns. This is all extremely useful information to us, because when we see the patterns, then we can begin to doubt those patterns. We can begin to examine them and see if these thought patterns are realistic or if they're just dysfunctional thought patterns or dysfunctional veils through which we perceive the world. And as we begin to examine this more, then we start to let go of those things more and more. Okay. So, for example, maybe we notice in our meditation that we're always distracted by feelings like, you know, nobody appreciates me enough. Yeah. I mean, we never have enough appreciation, do we? people could always love and appreciate us a bit more. And some of us dwell on it. So then we have to think, well, you know, here I am feeling sorry for myself, but is it actually true that nobody appreciates me? And then we start examining and we start seeing, actually, we have a number of friends who do appreciate us. And there's a number of people who do care about us and have love and regard for us. And, you know, then we show to ourselves that our habitual way of perceiving things is distorted. And in by bringing more mindfulness to that, then we don't get sucked in by those negative and unrealistic thought patterns so much. Okay? So the conclusion is, when, you know, if you notice all sorts of distracting thoughts and emotions, don't freak out and say, oh, I'm not doing it right. But take the advantage of the opportunity to really start to observe the kinds of patterns that you have. Okay? It's extremely useful. Hmm?